We're very pleased to have on the line today a graduate of the United States Military Academy, former commander of NORTHCOM, and served all over the world, now vice president with the Association of the U.S. Army, and that is Lieutenant General Guy Swan. General, how are you today?
Doing great, Ken. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. We have John Turan with us, who you also met when we were down at the Toby Hanna Armory down in Pennsylvania when you gave a
an
Army birthday talk.
Great to hear from you guys.
Well, General, first, maybe just give our audience a little bit of a highlight of some of the elements of your career. You've served all over the world, an extraordinary Army career. Might just go over some of the highlights.
Yeah, I graduated from West Point in 1976. I was commissioned as an armor officer, tanks and heavy equipment like that, and literally served all over the world, from Korea to multiple locations in the United States, and then about 7 years in Germany during the Cold War and after the wall came down. And then most recently, before I retired from active duty 5 years ago, I was very much involved in the Army's homeland mission as part of U.S. Northern Command, had a lot of interaction with various state and local and federal agencies, border security, disaster response, homeland defense. And then for the past 5 years, I've been a vice president at the Association of the U.S. Army, which serves as an advocate for the Army's role in national defense.
Absolutely great, great partner in taking care of America's veterans with the American Legion. And I have to mention, my dad was with the 5th Army at the end of his career in the 1960s, which was part of the part of that organization. The
that's right.
The Army.
That's right. The NORTHCOM Army Command is the 5th Army, so traces its roots back to World War II. In Italy.
Absolutely. Oh, my dad served there during World War II. Now, we were very pleased to have General Swan join us today. We hear a lot from the Navy, especially I get to go to some of the Navy League events, the needs of the Navy. And I wanted General Swan to kind of help us with some of the needs of the U.S. Army. There is a proposed budget increase for the Defense Department overall. And we know the Army has needs for more soldiers and equipment, but Bill, maybe you could kind of outline some of the key priorities for the Army, given a larger budget opportunity.
Right, Ken. Probably the biggest requirement right now for the Army is to maintain readiness. As everyone knows, the Army's been involved in these counterinsurgency operations in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere for the last 15 years since 9/11. And now, with the resurgence of the Russian threat, we find the Army, again, having to respond to a more conventional near-peer competitor in the Russians. And, of course, we always have North Korea as a potential threat. So what that amounts to for the Army is to regain skills that were lost in the last 15 years, refurbish and upgrade equipment, primarily the tanks, the Bradley fighting vehicles, long-range artillery. Many of those were not used in Afghanistan or Iraq to any extent, and now have either atrophied or need to be significantly upgraded to keep up with adversaries around the world.
Well, first, maybe just mention about equipment. We hear about the Navy coming up with laser technology and all sorts of new systems. Is that something that the Army has a number of elements that it would like to propose or in design stages right now?
Absolutely. There are major efforts going on in laser technology. In fact, in the last few months, the Army's been testing a ground-based laser weapon, not unlike the ones that the Navy is testing as well. Of course, in that arena, Ken, as you well know, it's all about power generation. And, of course, on a ship, you can generate more power for a weapon like that than you can on the back of a ground combat vehicle. So that matter of scale is what's being looked at right now. Likewise, in Afghanistan and Iraq, we didn't have to worry about an air threat, enemy aircraft attacking our troops. That has changed dramatically now, as you see the Russians flying in Syria and elsewhere. So the Army's high priority right now is to improve its air defense capabilities as well as missile defense. So there are a number of initiatives going on in the equipment arena. You mentioned growing the size of the Army. We were on a downward turn for the last 5 or 6 years, a reduced-sized Army, actually the smallest Army since World War II. And that has been arrested now by the Congress, but now you must fund the troops that you have. It's not a matter of having troops. It's a matter of having troops that are trained, equipped, and well-led.
Well, General, we were wondering a little bit about the funding for all of this, because among other things, we've got the increase in computers that are getting involved with things these days, and those are obviously expensive in terms of development. We've seen that with the F-35 and other things as well. What do you think the timetable is going to be, and where do you think the special funds will be coming from?
Well, right now there is a budget pending, and of course Congress is on its Easter break right now, but there is a federal appropriation that is pending, and that includes some additional funds, as Ken mentioned early on, some supplemental funding. Most of that funding has been spoken for, but it can't be spent until the appropriation is passed. Right now, we're in a continuing resolution which allows only spending at last year's levels, and that's a problem when you're trying to spend on the programs that you mentioned. Manufacturers need to be paid, and if they can only be paid at last year's levels, that's not keeping up with inflation and other needs. So that's the biggest short-term concern in the budget arena, is getting a fully funded budget passed, and then looking ahead to the 2018 budget. We have a series of required legislated caps, budget caps, on the defense budget. Those really need to be lifted. And for your listeners out there, I can't emphasize that enough. Those budget caps are hamstringing not only the Army, but all of the military services.
Certainly, sequestration really hurt the Army and all the military in its planning process. And one of the elements
certainly did.
And one of the elements that we had a chance to visit was cyber defense. We attended the cyber defense exercise at West Point that was sponsored by the NSA. And I look at the homepage of the Association of U.S. Army, and there's an article about is there enough funding for the new cyber branch of the Army. Maybe you could explain to our audience why cyber defense is so important.
Well, everything is affected by cyber these days. Virtually every weapon system, command and control system that the Army and the other services use revolve around the cyber domain. This is also a new battlefield. We've always thought of warfare occurring in the air, maritime, land domains, but now cyberspace is yet another battlefield, so to speak. So that is very important. The point I would make, Ken, is that the Army started later than the other services in the cyber arena. Obviously, the Navy and the Air Force had real needs in command and control, electronic warfare, and those sorts of things. The Army has dramatically caught up now, has its own cyber defense command that is integrated with the other services. You mentioned the Army Cyber Institute is now at West Point, and it is the premier center for cyber defense research and development and training right there at West Point. So the Army is taking this very, very seriously, mostly from the defensive perspective, although there are offensive capabilities. And I heard some of the discussion about the North Korean missile launch failure. That is the kind of area where cyber can have a major effect.
Yeah, we had Colonel Ragsdale on our show. He's now the director of the Cyber Institute at Texas A&M, and he kind of talked a little bit about that when he was on our show a couple months ago. And we're talking with Lieutenant General Guy Swan, who is a graduate of West Point, also the Vice President of the Association of the U.S. Army. And General, you mentioned the needs of soldiers, more training, increasing the number of soldiers in the U.S. Army. And we've heard about the need for more special operations, special forces soldiers, because there's so many missions that they're obviously going to be assigned to. What are some of the ways that, the Army can better fund its soldiers?
Well, the big things are right now is adequate training for everyone. The big change that we've had in the last 2 years has been this emphasis on Europe, and many of your listeners have seen Army forces going back into Europe again. I spent a good 7-8 years of my career in Germany, and that's now quite uncommon. We've gone from roughly 300,000 troops over there during the height of the Cold War to down to about 30,000, and that's increasing every day. So making sure that our folks are well-trained for that environment after they've spent so many years fighting terrorists around the world is an area where we need to increase spending.
Well, Lieutenant General Guy Swan, thank you so much for calling in. We'd love to have you back and talk more about the United States Army that John's father served in, my father served in, and so many.
My father served in as well.
So. Absolutely. General, thank you so much.
Thank you, General.
Thank you, guys.
You've
have a great day.